All right, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. A few moments in silent prayer will give us the opportunity to prepare ourselves for the concentration on God's Word. We are in the midst of studying one of the great struggles throughout history. I try to make you aware of this in our Christmas special of the Mighty One and the Mightier Man. When we come down to the final analysis of both salvation and living the Christ-centered life, it comes down to a simple principle of the power system that you will choose to function by. And the power system of the flesh, of course, is the one that we prefer. It exalts ourselves. It is the one that so subtly comes into the Christian life to apply the Word of God by the energy of the flesh. And this is especially true in our society. America is a nation of strength, a nation of courage. We take great pride in the strength and the courage of Americans in paving the way of this great country. We love the hero stories of our country. We love the stories of how they were beaten down and through sheer perseverance got up and continued to forge the great nation that we have as our country. Patton's speech in the movie of Patton, feeling how we love the winner. We love the best boxer, football player, whatever field it may be. And I'm afraid that so often Christians have carried this over into the Christian life, even to the point of executing the Christ-centered life, the application of biblical principles. It is not just a matter that the Word of God says, do this and don't do this, that we do it and that we refrain. But as people, it is the power in which we do it or refrain from doing it. And just simply the matter of doing what Scripture says or refraining from what Scripture forbids is not necessarily a Christ-centered life. And sometimes believers, especially those with a great amount of truth in their soul, who have accomplished the status of spiritual maturity, will find themselves exalting themselves by relying on the energy of the flesh until God starts dealing with them. And this is why it's always a rather shock when we find a strong, mature believer that we know to be mature, and we find him weak, and we find him completely incapable of even applying that truth. It startles us. And sometimes we don't know what to do and leave, get out of their perimeter. Other times we are like Job's friends. We want to sit around and speculate, try to find the sin, try to find the fault, try to find what's wrong. And then what happens really, and it happened to Job in a very dramatic way, we begin to assess that something is really wrong with us. Nothing is wrong with us other than the fact that we are weak by the nature of the flesh. There's nothing particularly, especially wrong with you. God is simply trying to get your attention. It again is the most dramatic, can be the most dramatic moment in your life. Unfortunately, there are a lot of believers who will take that opportunity to once again, out of their sheer grit, their sheer determination, I will survive through this. I will rise above this. And do it out of the energy of the flesh. And that's a great tragedy. There are those who fall into total weakness and despair and give up on everything. That is equally horrible. We may think that the one who has by their own strength and by their sheer determination pulled through it, and they think they're glorifying God, but they're not. It has been by their own pure determination that they have made it. Somehow that's a little bit better than the one who completely gives up. No, it isn't. In fact, in one sense, it's really worse. But you have to understand the great struggle in your life. And it's a 24-hour-a-day struggle. By what power are you going to execute the Christ-centered life? Let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. A few moments in silent prayer, again, will give us the opportunity to adjust our thoughts, rely on the Holy Spirit, take care of sin, that we can understand the passages that are before us, understand our weaknesses, and then understand God's solution to our weaknesses. Let's prepare ourselves by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are once again for the wonderful opportunity that we have to assemble ourselves this evening with other believers who are like-minded for the purpose of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Father, it is so important that we understand how powerful the Holy Spirit really is, that we understand how weak we really are. The world has really yet to see very many believers to fully utilize the power of the Holy Spirit. But Father, it is our purpose to understand our weaknesses and then to be able with Paul to boast of them. For it is in these weaknesses that we realize that your grace is sufficient, that your power is perfected in our weaknesses. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we have been studying the Apostle Paul in regard to his boasting of his weakness and the purpose of that weakness and why God brought him to his knees. We spent some time with David and his dilemma for the last night and a half. And I want to make one other comment by way of introduction to our study, that so often believers, as yourself, sometimes do not realize, well, your thinking goes something in this manner, I'm not all that important, and these things aren't really going to happen to me like they did David and Paul, and you miss the point of various tests and sufferings that come along your way. I think that sometimes believers who give up on the intake of the Word of God and on the momentum of a relationship with the Lord and the Christ-centered life and abandon that and go to human help, psychiatry for the point being made, drugs, these type of things, I think sometimes you do not realize how important you are and what God is doing in your life. That it's what's happening in my marriage, what's happening in my romance, what's happening in my finance, what's this struggle, this inner pain, this hurt, it really can't be even compared to what David went through, though I feel what David said. But I'm not David. And I feel and understand what Paul is saying and Job and the other believers, but this really can't be related. I wish God would really test me sometime, but I need to go get help on this problem. What I want you to understand, people, is that God, in every generation, and with the level of the believer, in other words, the assignment that you have, where you are in life, that is the area that God is going to bring you to your knees so that you will recognize your weaknesses and depend upon Him. You are extremely important. Every one of you, if you're a born-again believer, and God will get your attention one way or the other. He will, one way or the other, get you to understand your weakness and depend upon Him and His comfort and His mercy and His power and His grace. But when these things start occurring in your life and the hurt and the pain is there, or in those that you may know, please understand how important you are in the plan of God. And whatever it may be, Now, we read several Psalms with David, and there are a multitude more. We could do the same thing with Job. I could spend several of our nights just going through and picking out various men in the Word of God and read similar things as we did last night. And the unbelievable pain and cry and hurt, the inability to apply what's in their soul at that point. And the way that these things occur varies. So that you may think, well, Paul's was a demon and David's was his kingdom and this type of these things going on. No, people, some of David's greatest dilemma and crying was right out of sin. We're talking about a man, when we talk about David, who tried to execute his life by the energy of the flesh. David was a very strong man in his flesh. And when David saw a woman he wanted, he took her. He went over and raped Bathsheba. When David saw somebody doing something, he went over and murdered. When David wanted to get things straightened out in a kingdom, David, by the energy of the flesh, was a man's man and would go in and take over. And it is for that very reason. Don't praise that. Because it is that very reason that God had to bring him to his knees and cry like a little baby that we saw last night. Those words that we saw last night are by a man in the energy of the flesh who is macho, very strong, very of great determination. I get what I want, and nobody bothers me. That was David. In the energy of the flesh. And he tried to execute his relationship in the plan of God by that same physical flesh determination. And over and over and over and over, God had to bring him to his knees. God had to constantly deal with this man David, because it was very simple for David. He was given the Holy Spirit. And it was very easy for David to quickly move over to the flesh and to try to execute God's plan in the flesh. And it wasn't going to happen. God was not going to allow that. And so David, in just a few psalms, but there are a multitude of psalms, in multitude of different circumstances in that man's life. There are stages of that man's life where God had to bring him to his knees. In so many different ways. So what I want you to understand, what I'm saying to you, is that when you're brought to this point, don't set yourself aside as not important. Every one of you. You may not be important at work. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. You may not be important to your husband and wife. You may not be important to your associates, in your opinion at least, you're not. And this is not Operation Strap-On. This is from the Word of God. You are important to Him. He died on a cross for you. He has provided all of these things for you. You are important. And God does care when you individually try to go and execute His life, His doctrine, on the energy of the flesh. He will not allow it. He will come down and bring you to the point where you realize you need Him and get your eyes focused back on Him. We have to realize just how weak we really are. We have to realize the weaknesses that we possess. Once you begin to fully comprehend your weaknesses, as most all of you have who are Christians, you realize it at the cross. But somehow or another, we're prone to forget it as we grow in maturity. We try to apply our maturity, or try to apply the Christ-centered life out of our maturity, instead of depending once again upon the divine provision. What I want to do now is to take a look, before we go into the next stage, I want to look at the weaknesses of man. Now, we haven't dealt with in this special with too many points it dealt with very little, if any, of the original language on the overhead. But let's take a look at the word, at least once, of the weakness of man, where Paul says, I boast in my weaknesses. The word is asthenia, and it looks like this in the Greek. Just so that you will be aware of it, and we'll have a look at it. All right, that is A-S-S, and the word, well, we'll deal with it, A-S-T-H-E-N-E-I-A, asthenia. And the word means exactly what it says, the way we translated it, weakness. It takes us back to our study of the angelic conflict of the mighty man or the mighty one and versus the mightier man, and the great struggle throughout all of the angelic conflict, when man enters the scene, people, is one of power. This is a great struggle. Which power system are you individually going to rely upon to live your life? This is the great issue, the power struggle. Are you going to rely on God's power? Are you going to rely on Satan's power? But it really is a power issue throughout all of the angelic conflict. And for the sake of discussion, for our discussion, there are three sources of power for you to choose from. Three sources. There is the power of God, there is the power of Satan, and there is the power of man, in other words, you. Now, technically, the power of man is from Satan. But just so that we can deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and have this perspective in our study, these are the three power sources that you can choose from on how you're going to live your life, how you're going to execute the Christ-centered life. And this comes down to the great issue of your life is the power that you're going to use, people, and your confidence and dependence and your faith in that power. And this is going to flow right into understanding the all-importance in this power struggle. So here's the angelic conflict, is a power struggle. Here's the angelic conflict, a power struggle that every one of us have to deal with. And people, you deal with it 24 hours a day. Are you operating on the power that God has provided, or are you operating on your own power, which is the power system of Satan? And this is so important in understanding such things even as spiritual love. The last thing that Paul will say in the impact of spiritual love is that love, spiritual love, never fails. Now, people, we're going to develop that eventually. It never fails. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that if you turn other believers, other persons over into the realm of the Holy Spirit, and you apply spiritual love in their circumstance and dealing with them, do you believe that it will not fail? Or do you believe you have to do something? That you have to take control in some way? Or do you truly believe, faith, do you really believe in the system that God has set up? Or do you have to come along and take control? Do you believe that God's system will bring about the very best for you in your life? Or do you have to take control? Now, we have studied you cannot control anyone's volition but your own. But I want you to understand that doesn't mean you don't have an influence on other believers. We're going to study how you, by turning over things to God, can actually have a great deal to do with another person's soul. But I'll come to that in its proper place. But you have to decide which of the power systems you are going to rely on. So the Greek word introduces, the Greek word for weakness of man introduces the great power struggle that exists. The more, the better that you are aware of your weakness will help you in deciding your power source. The more that you understand, now, you've got to decide, day in and day out, am I going to rely on my power, my IQ, my thinking, my control, my authority, my money, my love, human love, or am I going to rely on God? And it's going to come down to a very important principle. The more that you understand your weakness, how weak you are before God. Now, you may be strong before others, and one of the great problems is that we really, in America, we love the John Wayne Christian. We love the John Wayne person. And weakness is not something we're really proud of. I don't want to be a wimp. And we take it to heart, this whole issue of power and strength, as opposed to things in regard to weakness. And yet Paul says, I boast of my weaknesses. Most of us try to hide them. Most of us don't even want to acknowledge them and become very arrogant, spiritual arrogant, when people want to deal with our weaknesses. But we have to come to the reality of understanding your weakness. And the more that you understand your weakness, the more you're going to decide which power system you're going to lean on. And as long as you think that you are strong in and of yourself, you're not going to need the system provided by God. You may decide, I need doctrine in this church and in this camp, but I really don't need all of the power system that God has provided. And until you recognize your weakness, you're going to have a great problem in deciding which one you're going to choose to live by. And Paul made his decision and occasionally would go into spiritual arrogance. And so God would send a demon against Paul to straighten him out. And you have to do God has to do the same thing with born-again believers at various times. So therefore, Paul says he boasts of his weakness. All right, let's deal with what the Greek word means. It is a state of lacking strength, not able to exert needed power. Another aspect of weakness, not able to resist some external force. The various types of concepts that are related in the Greek word. So here we're dealing with the word weakness. And we have two things that I pointed out to you. One, the inability of strength, a state of lacking strength, not able to exert the needed power, but also I want you to realize it means to be weak in a resistance factor. You're too weak to resist some external force, too weak to withstand an attack. So you've got two ideas if you want to put it in that framework. Weakness deals with, I am too weak to attack, but I'm also too weak in the word weakness to defend. I can't even withstand an advance here. So you have to understand the full concept of weakness. Because people, until you understand that you are too weak to even put up a defense to handle demonic attack against you in the angelic conflict, you're not going to put on the whole armor of God. Until you understand that you're too weak to exert anything that is going to be required by the plan of God, you are not going to rely on the Holy Spirit. You're not going to. So what has to happen is that God has to sometimes bring us to how weak we are. I don't want you ashamed. I don't want you thinking something's wrong with you. I don't want you all filled with guilt and shame and trying to figure out what's wrong. Others can't understand this. The world, the cosmic genius cannot understand that God is dealing with you. They don't have the equipment to understand that. You saying, David, Paul, when Paul in Romans 7, we ought to take time to read that. In Romans 7, I don't do what I want to do. I do what I don't want to do, and I don't understand why. And he goes through all of this stuff, and we've read it before, and I told you. I still could have a fall with Paul. Ooh, Paul, you're classic. I can see a whole book and maybe even a movie franchise off of this. This is great, Paul.
come right in and lay down on my couch. This is, you're really loony, Paul. You're not going to have the ability to know. God wants Paul's attention. God wants total occupation with him, not on Paul. And the same thing is true of you. And you must understand, the world cannot do it. Now the world, as I said last night, the cosmic world, can go in and make wonderful insight in a cosmic frame of reference. In other words, the patterns and things that happen. Some people have to be that. I'm not denying that by any means. But I'm talking about a believer with an understanding of the Word of God in their soul, and generally a mature or maturing believer, that these things happen to. And you become so incapable of things, you think something's wrong. And so you go to cosmic help. People, they cannot help you. Now, what they can do is give you a false sense that they're dealing with something. But you have departed from what really is going on in your life in the angelic conflict. People, do you believe the Word of God or not? Do you believe when we read last night, I spent a whole class just reading through. Now, you may not know it. You may think, well, he didn't study, so all he had to do is, I had to read all of those chapters in the Hebrew, work through them, spending much more time than I would have rather spent the time on one verse. It would have taken me less time preparation. The reason I did that is I wanted you to see the condition of this man. What's wrong with David? What's wrong with Paul? What's wrong with Job? And most believers are ready to go seek cosmic help. Do you believe that a trained, and let's go ahead and say a genius, the top in America, psychologist, could have helped David? No, people. That wasn't what he needed. That isn't what Paul needed. And it isn't what you need. It's God dealing with you, getting your attention. And starting Tuesday, we start coming out of this. But what I want to, it's 8 o'clock. Okay, what we've got to do tonight is to take a look at the weaknesses that we possess. So let's take a look now at the weaknesses that man has. I want you to understand the word weakness, the inability to exert the proper force that is necessary, the power, or even weakness involved with the inability to withstand. Some synonyms are weak, feeble, frail, fragile, a weak person, deficient, or inferior in strength or power. Feeble is extreme weakness leading to pity or contempt. Frail, unable to withstand any type of pressure. Now the whole issue comes to a head in our American heritage. We are prone in the American heritage to John Wayne syndrome, and this isn't a slam against John Wayne, great actor, but the point is the hero type of image, strong, tall, big, nothing ever gets him down, surrounded by 500 Indians, and wants to know which one of them wants to be shot first. That type of thing. And we like that. We really admire a hero. Be strong. Fight. We are so afraid of being wimps in America. We are afraid of being weak. We are afraid that coming through. No woman desires to be married to a wimp. And a real man, all these things, real men don't do housework. I laugh when I read all that. Dallas Morning News had a long one today. Listen, when you're a bachelor, you better learn to clean your toilet, you better learn to put a few dishes away, and you better learn to do some things, or you're going to live in a pig pen after a while. I mean, I don't know what the issue is. But we get this idea, well, that's going to hurt my image. And I'm a real man, and I'm not a wimp. And all of this underlies the real problem. And that's what we've been studying, in arrogance of our existence, which leads to arrogance and spiritual arrogance. And when we realize that we're weak, what's wrong with me? I'm becoming a wimp here, and I can't let anybody get the upper hand of me. You know, I cannot let this happen. Listen to me. You can talk all you want to about the spiritual love, but I'll guarantee you, nobody's going to treat me that way. If you talk about your kindness, you know what you can do with your kindness. Nobody treats me this way. And I don't care about God and the Holy Spirit. You better understand, nobody treats me this way. And I'm talking to you, wife. I'm talking to you, fellow worker. Nobody does get away with that with me. I'm too strong. I'm too big. I'm too big to apply your kindness, long suffering, the power that is provided by God in the filling of the Holy Spirit's goodness. I'm too strong. And that's a lot of a modern Christian, an American Christian. So we have the wrong concept in regard to what weakness really is. But until man realizes, the believer especially, how weak we are, he still is going to depend on his own power. This is so true at the cross. Many unbelievers at the cross reject Christ as Savior totally by faith, faith only, faith alone, because I can add something to this. The whole concept of John MacArthur's concept of a gospel, lordship, salvation, all this kind of stuff, I've got some merit in me, and I can add to it. And that confidence in your own strength is going to lead you to an eternal lake of fire. It's only when we realize I am totally hopeless and helpless and weak, I have no choice but to rely on Him. I'd like to be something, but I know I can't. And therefore, our reliance is of faith. Let's take a look now and examine the weakness of man that is given in the Word of God. Point one, one of the most obvious areas of our weakness is our flesh, our mortal bodies. I want to start with this one. These are not in their proper order. They're in a order that we can build upon. They're in a building order, probably. But the most obvious that comes to play is the weakness of our mortal bodies, physical weakness. This word is used in a multitude of passages in the New Testament in reference to physical weakness. Luke chapter 5, I'm just going to give you a few so you'll see it. Luke 5:15, Jesus Christ healed their weaknesses. It's translated sickness there, but it's our word. It's our word weakness translated sickness. Luke chapter 8, verse 2, verse 13. John 5:5, this is the same word used of the sick man at the pool of Bethesda that Jesus Christ healed. Acts 28:9, the word translated disease there. So it can be translated disease, sickness, all of these things, but it's our word weakness. Weakness of the flesh. And even here, man places a great deal of importance on the physical strength, the big, strong man. And many attach an arrogance to the strength of the body, a healthy body, and physically strong. And we attach a lot to it, a big man, a strong man, in the physical realm. And there's an arrogance to it. There's I'm an invincible type of thing. And I can do whatever I want to do with my body. And I just have a very strong type of body until God gets our attention, until something happens to that body, till it is taxed from without or from within. Then we realize just how weak our bodies are. And all it takes is an accident, an illness, a disease, a sickness. And if any of those don't get you, old age along with gravity, they start pulling on you. And you begin to realize that physical body has its great weaknesses. Point two. And finally, of course, the ultimate is death. Point two. Weakness of the flesh. Weakness of the flesh here, I refer to the old sin nature. The sin nature that flows through your body. And you remember that. The old sin nature. This is our weakness that flows through the body. A weakness that affects the soul, weakens the soul. And we all possess this weakness. It's common to all. This weakness flows through the body, weakens the soul, rendering us incapable of performing good before God. Now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Let's look for a moment at Romans chapter 6. We will not have time to spend much time here, but let's note a few things in Romans chapter 6. See the weakness of our old sin nature that every one of us has. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 17. But thanks. Romans 6, verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you are slaves of sin, you became obedient from the soul to that form of teaching to which you were committed. Verse 18, and having been freed from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. Now, 17 and 18, we are to perform righteousness. But note in verse 19, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Now in verse 19, very quickly, we are too weak. We are incapable in the flesh of performing the righteousness that is necessary. Now, Paul says, we now, in 17 and 18, we are here to produce righteousness. Verse 19, however, we are too weak to fulfill this righteousness because of the old sin nature that rips through us. We are incapable of producing. So we have the weakness of the flesh, the old sin nature that flows through and prevents us from performing this. We're just too weak. And being weak, we're not going to be able to perform. It'd be in a physical sense, if you had 1,000 pounds on a weight up here and come up and try to lift it. Well, I can't lift it because my body's just too weak. It will not allow. Well, the old sin nature, it renders ourselves so weak that we are not able to produce this righteousness on our own. It is, the flesh is too weak to do it. And you then have to realize, I'm going to need another power source in order to do it. And you'll be amazed when you reach a point of life that you cannot handle, when you are brought, as we're studying with Paul and David, to where you are totally aware of these, of your weakness, brought to your knees, you can't apply the doctrine in your soul, something's wrong, nothing's wrong, people, you're weak. There's an old sin nature inside of all of us. You're not going to be able to execute the Christ-centered life. You're not going to be able to apply doctrine that you have in your soul. You're not going to be able to perform the righteousness. You're too weak. You can't do it. You may think you can, but you're too weak. And God will bring you to your knees to demonstrate this. And this is why we have to turn to another power system. So the principle, due to the old sin nature that flows through our body, we are weak. Of course, liberals deny the sin nature of man. Liberals believe that man is basically good, but the Word of God makes it clear that we are weak, and we have no ability, no energy to perform what we are, what God is desiring that we perform. So the energy of the flesh cannot control the old sin nature. Energy of the flesh. Let's put it on the board. The energy of the flesh is the flesh, cannot control the old sin nature. We're going to have something else to control the old sin nature. We're just too weak. And this is what we're trying to do when we try to apply doctrine by the energy of the flesh. It's too weak. The old sin nature, the flesh, is too weak, people, to control the sin nature. It is too weak to produce, put this on the board, to produce the perfect righteousness. It's too weak. But you'd be surprised how many born-again believers out of the energy of the flesh try to apply doctrinal or biblical principles that you have in your soul, and you can't do it. Now, you can put on a show that you are. The overt may correspond. Well, I'll have an environment, or I'll create, and it'll look like I'm doing it. And you think you are. And that's the great problem. I'm just going to persevere through this. I'm not going to take matters into my own. I'll just walk away from all of this. But it's all the energy of the flesh, and it isn't going to glorify God. And if this continues, this is what happened to Paul. God had to bring him to his knees so that he would understand what is needed. All right, let's move now to point three. Move to point three. Romans 5, 6. Romans 5, 6. Very important passage to our study. Moral weakness of our existence. All right, let's write it down and turn the page over. Romans 5, 6. The moral weakness of our existence. This isn't the old sin nature. This is the weakness that you and I have just by virtue of being members of the human race. There is a weakness that is associated with being a member of the human race. All right, let's take a look. Romans 5, 6. Romans 5, 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, I want to study that at the proper place. So let's just move on. But I want you to know what we're talking about here. There is a weakness just because you are a member of the human race. Point four. Point four. In understanding of weakness, you should be aware here of the weakness of the Mosaic Law. You should be aware of the weakness in this study of the Mosaic Law. Many believers and religious unbelievers trying to solve the whole problem of the weakness of man with obedience to the Mosaic Law, and it will not work. These people who want to go back and handle all of the immoral and the evil problems in our society, they demand that we go back to the Mosaic Law. Because under the Mosaic Law, we can control society, get everyone back under it, and it's going to fulfill the plan of God. It can't. Now let's take a look. Turn in your text to Romans 8. Romans 8. The weakness of the Mosaic Law. Romans 8. For what the law could not do, inability, reference to the Mosaic Law. There's something the Mosaic Law cannot do, weak as it is. There's our word, weak as it is. The Mosaic Law, weak. Why is the Mosaic Law weak? Get it down in your soul and in your notes. Because it depends on the energy of the flesh to execute. That's why it's weak. Weak as it is, as it was, because of the flesh. In other words, the Mosaic written for both believer and unbeliever Jew and was to be executed by the energy of the flesh. The flesh crying to obey, the old sin nature trying to conform to the Mosaic Law, and therefore the Mosaic Law is weak. See, the Mosaic Law applies to unbeliever to execute it, it applies to the believer to execute it, and they are to execute it under the energy of the flesh. This is how they are to execute the Mosaic Law. and no one is going to be saved or receive any blessing from God because of the energy of the flesh. It's too weak. Let me give you an example. The command of the Mosaic Law to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, people, this is something the unbeliever can do. The unbeliever can fulfill this. Because the unbeliever has a love of himself, and he can fulfill this under the energy of the flesh. Now, this is something that has no merit before God in the sense of blessing or salvation. It depends on the energy of the flesh. Let's take a look at the new commandment for the church age believer. What's the new commandment? That you love another, that's another believer, as I loved you. Now, people, that's something the flesh cannot do. The Mosaic Law is weak. It cannot provide salvation. Why? Because it depends upon the energy of the flesh. So we can't live by the Mosaic Law for anything from God. It depends on the energy of the flesh. New commandment, to love as Christ loved you, is going to require something far beyond the energy of the flesh. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, through the flesh, God did. All right, here's the beginning of coming face to face with your weakness, right here. First, you must realize that you simply are too weak to do anything before God. And only then are you ready to receive His power, His grace, His provision. Now, how did God do what the Mosaic Law could not do? Standing, look at the text, sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now here's where grace comes in. When you grasp just how weak you are. See, people, when you begin to grasp how weak I really am and what this means. See, when people come up with a gospel like MacArthur's come up with, where you and I make Him Lord, you and I invite Him into our heart, you and I do something. You haven't come face to face with how weak you are. You have not really grasped the weakness of man. Setting aside total depravity, you've just not grasped how weak we really are. Once you begin to grasp and an understanding of how weak you are, then you begin to realize that before God, I can do absolutely nothing. And that's where faith is going to take up the slack. Faith is God's system whereby weak man is going to be able to receive something from God. And faith is a passive verb. That's how we receive things from God. But people, until you are aware of how weak you are, you're not really going to appreciate God's marvelous grace. You're going to stand back when you begin to realize, as the Apostle Paul, in various passages, and David and Job, just how marvelous is God's grace. And remember, this is what God wants Paul to see as a mature, very mature, extremely mature, born-again believer. Paul had forgotten the concept of grace. Paul, I'm going to teach you my grace is sufficient, just as it was way back when I met you on the road to Damascus. And now you've got to learn it again, Paul. You have forgotten how great my grace is because now you think you're somebody. You think now you're strong because of your doctrine, because you've been to heaven, because of all of these things. No, Paul, you're not too strong. You're not strong at all. You're going to need my grace. You're going to have to see that my grace is sufficient. But people, until you realize how weak you are, you're not going to realize how gracious God is. You're not going to realize it. You're not going to appreciate it. And some believers have to really be brought to their knees, as Paul was, to just realize, you know, I realize now how insignificant I really am. I can't even handle the problem. I cannot stop. I cannot prevent something from happening. I cannot get people to do what I want. I'm so weak I can't do that, and now I'm so weak I can't even handle when these things do happen in life. That's how weak I am on two scales. There are two ways we learn our weakness. One, we learn our weakness. We can't get things done the way we want. See, this is why it's so difficult for a very strong and powerful man to rely on God's plan and God's provision. They can order people around. They can get what they want. And they're very strong, and I mean spiritually. I'm not talking in the cosmic world. They're so strong, they get things done, they can order, they can control, they have power, they have authority. They don't understand how weak they are. And so what God has to do occasionally is come along and show you just how weak you really are, and then you'll realize how gracious He is, that He would do something to me so weak, that He would do something for me. We've got some passages coming up next week that will boggle your mind. Those of you who think God only wants strong people on His team. God doesn't want any losers. God wants a whole team of John Waynes. No, He doesn't. He wants people to realize just how weak they are so they'll see how gracious He is. He wants believers to know how weak they are so they will depend upon His power. And He's going to bring believers to their knees so that they'll see it. But when you realize how weak you are, then you'll realize how wonderful is God's marvelous grace. So, we have to realize, as we have here, the power of God, and the weakness of the Mosaic Law, and the power of God. Alright, sending His own Son, let's continue reading, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, getting you ready for the power source offered to us and how to come out of this weakness next week, look at verse 4. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, because the flesh is weak and cannot do it, but according to the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. This will also help you in understanding what it means to walk in the Spirit. But we'll come put all of these things together. All right, first area of weakness. Weakness in our physical, mortal bodies. Two, weakness of the flesh, the old sin nature. Weakness of the flesh, our mortal being, as members of the human race, incapable of producing righteousness. Weakness of the Mosaic Law. Point 5, weakness in faith. Weakness in faith. Write down and then turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. By the way, very interesting. Romans written relatively close to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. There probably is a very close relationship to the thorn in the flesh, the weaknesses of Paul, and all of the things that Paul deals with in Romans. But let's note now, Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. And without becoming weak, that's our word, weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, this is Abraham, contemplated his own body now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, coming to that realization did not weaken his faith, but the point is, I want you to understand, there can be such a thing as weakness in faith. If that's not good enough, write down and turn with me to Romans 14. Romans 14, 1 and 2. Let's look at Romans chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Romans 14, 1, now accepting the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One man has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. See, be strong in faith and you don't have to eat vegetables. Alright, I think that's a misapplication of the Word of God. Alright. Now, right close to that, point 6, weak conscience. We have in point 5, weak in faith. Point 6, weak conscience. Write down and turn with me, and we'll handle both of these together. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 to 13. Write down, and then let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. verses 7 to 13. 1 Corinthians 8, 7 to 13, weak conscience. The weak conscience, weak in faith, versus the believer with a great deal of doctrine, but in spiritual arrogance. Spiritual arrogance based upon the knowledge of doctrine in the soul. All right, let's read verse 7 so that we can have something to deal with. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol. What this means is, when they eat the food now, these are Gentiles who have become believers. They used to eat inside of these temples that where the food was served that was dedicated to idols. Now when they do it, they still think that's what they're doing. Therefore, their conscience, being weak, is defiled. They think now it is really wrong, and they're defiling themselves if they eat this meat. So this is their conscience. Let me deal very quickly with the Greek word conscience and relate it with our study of faith. Conscience here is used in reference to that compartment of the soul where our norms and standards are filed, cataloged, used to determine right and wrong in life. We learn from life. We learn from the Word of God. Wherever we learn, we build up the norms and standards of the conscience. These norms and standards in the conscience guide the actions of life. When we act contrary to the norms and standards of our conscience, we damage our own estimation of ourselves. And this is why you should fill your conscience with norms and standards of the Word of God. All right, verse 7 now, once again. However, not all men have this knowledge. This is Bible doctrine in the soul. Doctrine in the soul gives us the norms and standards. And then it says, but some being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. A weak conscience is a conscience that doesn't have the truth in there, doesn't have the norms and standards of the Word of God in. So they're weak. Verse 8, but food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. Simply doesn't matter. Verse 9. But take care, lest this liberty of yours somehow becomes a stumbling block to the weak. This is getting back to the weak conscience of verse 7. Weak conscience, weak faith. Verse 10. But for if someone sees you, who have the knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, the norms and standards in his soul, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? In other words, it will defile him if he does it, because he thinks he can now, but he can't, because he'll be working against the norms and standards in his own soul. All right, verse 11. For through your knowledge, he who is weak is now ruined. Now, you have all that knowledge, and you know you can eat, so you're going to operate on your liberty to do so, and now you've ruined another believer. And I want you to note the Word of God says you did it. Well, it isn't my fault. He just ought to use the doctrine in his soul, and I have a right to do whatever I want to do. Read the Word of God. For through your knowledge, he who is weak is now ruined. That's how you use your knowledge of doctrine. That's how you use your liberty to ruin the Christ-centered life of another believer. Now, many believers with doctrine do not like this, and in fact, some reject the whole idea that they are responsible. But let's put the Word of God into its proper perspective and understand the Word of God. And knowledge instructs you as to your relationship, interaction, behavior with other believers. Not just what you can do. Not just what you can do and get away with it. But knowledge in the soul, doctrine in the soul, lets you be aware of the interaction, behavior, and responsibility in regard to other believers. Principle. You can actually ruin And that means to cause to leave the Christ-centered life a weak believer because of your use of your knowledge. Verse 12, and thus by sinning, look what you've done now. I haven't sinned. I can do this. Arrogance, spiritual arrogance we're going to be studying Sunday morning. I have the knowledge. I can do this. And I can do it under the filling of the Spirit. I can go in there and eat. And it's nobody's business. Look at verse 12. And thus by sinning against the believer and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. So, put this in your perspective of your responsibility. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, that I might not cause my brethren, another believer in Christ, to stumble. Finally, point 7. Bear with me and we'll be through. Point 7. Preparing for our study next week, the springboard for it, the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. Romans 8:26. Let's take a look. Romans 8:26. Turn back over to Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit also helps our weakness. Now, this is in reference to a believer with a great deal of doctrine in the soul, and yet weak in the angelic conflict at this point. God is dealing with them. They are now brought to their weakness under the pressure of the suffering, the adversity. The believer simply does not know what to do. This believer doesn't even know what to pray, and this is a mature believer with a great deal of doctrine, and he doesn't even know what to pray. All that doctrine in their soul, and they do not know, this believer does not know what to pray. And again, I'm afraid some other mature believer would walk by and judge this believer. Look, just use the doctrine in the soul. Just open your mouth and pray. I've heard you give some great talks about prayer in the past. Just pray. Use all that doctrine that you know. People, not until you are brought to this point of your weakness, that you cannot execute the plan of God in the energy of the flesh, that you do not have that ability, you're not even going to understand this. You're not going to understand hurting so much and being so weak that you don't even know how to pray. You don't even know how to pray, and yet you've got massive amount of doctrine in your soul. How in the world can that be? Because God brings believers to this point of their weakness to get your attention. My grace is sufficient. My power is perfected in your weakness. And you're not going to see it any other way. You're not going to see my grace, you're not going to see my power until I bring you to your knees in your weakness, to where you cry out, you can't even pray, you can't apply the doctrine, you can't do anything except focus your attention on your relationship with me and see my grace and my grace and my power. And now you're ready for recovery. People, God doesn't want us in this condition. I've not been praising weakness. Now, Paul boasts of it. Paul boasts of his weakness. There's nothing great in the sense that this is where we're going to execute the Christ-centered life. But there is something really wonderful about weakness, because here it's going to cause you to see God's grace and God's power, what God can do. And so we have just a few more things to take up now as we begin the closing out. How do I come out of this condition? See, right now we have gotten to this point of condition with Paul and David. You're crying out. You're so weak here. You can't, and when I'm talking about a believer with doctrine, you can't do anything. How am I going to come out of all of that then? And this is what we're going to start looking at, some 7 points next week. and take a look at God's plan, that what God provides, why He's brought us to this point, and how we're going to come out of all of this and glorify God, and why Paul boasts in regard to his weakness. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God that reveals to us how You behave in regard to us. How, Heavenly Father, You desire that personal dynamic relationship between each of us and You and Your Son and Your Holy Spirit. The depth that You will go to, Heavenly Father, to get our attention, to cause us to rely upon who and what You are. It is our purpose, Father, to rely on Your grace, to understand that Your power is perfected in our weakness. We have experienced this at the cross. It is so vital that we understand it in our lives. This, then, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.